FirstAmendment.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the, it appears that it's the 16th of August. We're going to hopefully have a guest on the second hour where sustainable development is being implemented in his part of Moffat, Colorado. I didn't want to speak to him tonight personally because I thought, like I like to do, is have everyone hear what he has to say about the implementation process. It doesn't do me any good to hear it. I've heard it over and over again, and it's just difficult to stomach and swallow all this all the time. And so let's all swallow it all together at the same time. That's what I say tonight. So in the second hour, apparently Aaron's not here, so I'll try and make that phone call, hopefully, and we'll see how it goes. Here we see in Saturday's edition of the Oklahoman, more families mourning over lost ones that killed in Afghanistan this time. And, you know, I was talking to someone today, and he's saying, well, why do you bother? You know, why do you do this? And I said, well, you know, from the past to the present, you've got families sending their sons and daughters overseas to fight. For what? What is the purpose? What is it about? Freedom? Is it really about freedom, listeners? It's about wealth. It's about conglomeration of wealth and accumulation of wealth and stealing and robbing wealth around the world. It's called the UN system, and it never stops. And certainly the best documentation you can have about us being the UN system is go to the State Department website and see how it's implemented, see how it's going on. And then the Secretary of the Treasury being the U.S. governor of the fund, meaning there's a series of governors from various countries. Probably the G7 countries have a governor of the IMF. And this is the way it's coming down, and this is the way it is. And people will say, as I've talked to others recently in my travels, that it's still the best country in the world, but it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. You know, this is the point and the problem. And here you see this thing about, on the front page, Hurricane Charley slams Florida. Whatever devastation is created by whatever weather anomaly, you always have to question, when you have the documentation, was it created? We don't know. We don't know whether it was created or not, but the capability of doing that is a reality. Environmental modification is a reality. And those that don't ponder this are making a tremendous mistake, because what is the biggest thing that happens when you have disasters like this? Financial crises, devastation. Refugees are created out of this, either here or in any other part of the world. Refugees are created, becoming more and more dependent on the system for sustaining life. And there you have it. These created crises that come along, and certainly the directions are just so obvious that I find it very difficult that people aren't paying attention. Here we see in the paper on Saturday, more than $4.4 million from the state's tobacco settlement is available to spend on anti-smoking programs in 2004-2005. This is a UN endorsement. I don't think they're going to say it in this article. But when you consider what's in the fertilizers, you have to wonder what the heck's going on. Sad, sad commentary. Here we see on Sunday's paper, United Way begins campaign. A whole page devoted to the United Way, a non-governmental organization of the United Nations. It's just the way it is. Just because I talk about it all the time, just because it's in our paper all the time, doesn't mean I shouldn't be talking about it and covering it. The reality is in place. Members of the United Way of Central Oklahoma campaign cabinet held their monthly meeting at the new federal building in downtown Oklahoma City. The cabinet, recruited by Chairman Luke Corbett, is crucial to making United Way's fundraising campaign successful. Each cabinet member calls on individuals and companies to encourage support of the campaign via corporation donations, employee campaigns, and personal contributions. And there's all sorts of people in here. I can name off the names, but you don't know any of them. There's just no point in expressing who these people are to you. No point. You just don't know them. But they all do what they're told, and they all think it's for a good cause. Here you see an article in Saturday's paper, Candidates Converge During Oregon Stops, Bush Defends His Record as Kerry Criticizes Tax Policy. I made a couple of predictions. This is the second one, this will be the lowest voter turnout in history between Kerry and Bush and whatever third-party candidates you have out there. It'll be the lowest voter turnout in history. That is my prediction. I predicted that Joyce Riley's going to win this American candidate fiasco, competition, whatever you call it. And the question is, was it set up for her to win? That's the question that I ask. So this Kerry and Bush situation, and certainly I have plenty of information on Bush and his depression and depressing or antidepressants he's supposedly taking, and Kerry and his unscrupulous lying about how he was such a hero in this Vietnam War. Both these people are skull and bones. Skull and bones is infiltrated into all facets of the administration. And is it just skull and bones? Are there other ones in there? Probably so. Very ominous things going on today that are extremely telling in the paper. And I just have a whole stack of newspapers here, and I thought you should hear some of this. I need to get down to a certain section. Here we see right on the front page of Friday's Oklahoman, U.S. forces pound clerics militia. Thousands of U.S. troops sealed off Najif's vast cemetery, its old city and revered Shiite shrine Thursday, and unleashed a tank, infantry and helicopter assaults against militants loyal to radical cleric Mugdakta El-Shadar. Arab television reported he was wounded and holed up in the shrine. But the point is militia. The word militia. There it goes. There you have it. Here you see admitting homosexual affair. New Jersey governor resigns. Oh, how insane is this? How ridiculous is this? And how weird is that? What do you say to a situation like this? Was this individual fit to be a governor? What gave him the position to be what he was? Money, payoffs, and certainly when gay pride is being promoted everywhere you look, and here this guy has an affair with a man. When have you ever heard that before? Ah, how insane. Directly indicating where we are today, what's being pulled upon us. Here we see in the Friday's paper a renewed interest in the Arkansas River as a place to gather and play, sparked in part by Oklahoma City's efforts to improve the Oklahoma River through its Metropolitan Area Projects Program. Straight out of Agenda 21, maps, people. Where's the money going to come from? Property taxes being raised. This is what's going to make it happen. Whether we want it or not, we're going to get it. And that is the way it happens. It's beyond me how people are just so accepting of these improvements and directions and this and that. And property taxes keep going up. Income taxes keep going up. And yet there's a move afoot to abolish the IRS. I mean, what is the deal here? And according to Joan Vion, preparing Americans for electronic money through consumption tax. And it just tells you like it is. Bush was campaigning in Florida recently. He said that abolishing the U.S. income tax system and replacing it with a national sales tax was an idea worth considering, an idea he said we ought to explore seriously. So in the last year, Joan Vion has been talking, and she asked Secretary of the Treasury Snow if Bush administration was going to implement a value-added tax or a national sales tax on three separate occasions. The last time was at the G7 finance ministers meeting in April. His response was either negative or he refused to answer the question. So why all the mystery about changing the tax code when the Washington Post was the first to report the forthcoming switch to a consumption tax back in October 31st, 2002? Good question. Most recently, House Speaker Hassert wrote in his recently released book, Speaker, that America needs to eliminate taxation, litigation, and regulation in order to become more productive. And that's a good idea. But he projects that by adopting a value-added tax, sales tax, or some other alternative, America's productivity could change. In June, Paul Bedard wrote in a U.S. News and World Report, quote, plans being drawn up by the White House would make tax and retirement reform the hallmark of another 4 years, end quote. With insiders calling the changes Reagan-sized ideas, he explained, quote, Treasury and congressional Republican leaders are considering a total rewrite of the increasingly complicated tax code possibly junking it in favor of a European-style value-added tax or flat tax, according to officials, end quote. Furthermore, it is expected that President Bush will unveil his plan at the Republican National Convention, where the idea will become proposed policy instead of theory. And this is the sad commentary of it all, listeners. According to Joan Vion, she wants to review what the politicians are going to tell us about how wonderful a VAT or value-added tax, sales tax, or some other alternative is going to be. First, it will be coded in marketing language designed to captivate the most naive voter. We will be told that it will create jobs, but money in our pockets, reduce interest rates, increase international capital flows to America, making America more attractive to investors, and eliminate death taxes, or our families can plan for the future without fear of estate taxes. They will speak of it as the optimal pro-growth tax system, or a fairer tax system. These are all too familiar sweet nothings, for we have heard them since the 70s, when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard, and look where America is today. Every level of government is broke. In going back and studying the efforts of the Reagan tax cuts in the 1980s, Joan read a number of studies and papers on the Internet. First, Reagan's tax cuts were one of the most important events of the 1980s and constituted a comprehensive overhaul of the U.S. federal income tax system. While Reagan was looking to stimulate economic growth, curb inflation, increase employment, and strengthen national defense, just as Bush is today, his tax cuts and other changes constituted a structural change in government. In fact, it laid the foundation for what Bush is doing today. On paper, from the Tax Foundation questioned how you compare the various tax cuts so that it shows or explains the differences. They asked, quote, do you compare tax cuts and national income, tax cuts and budget resources, tax cuts and defense costs, or tax cuts and deficits, end quote. If so, the Kennedy tax cuts went over Reagan's and Bush's. However, if you use the wealth effect, when Reagan wins the big time, while future history will determine the real effects of Bush's three tax cuts and the to-be-made public revamping of the entire tax code, Social Security, and Medicare systems of the RNC. Just today in April or on August 13th, Washington Post writer Jonathan Weissman, who broke the story in the 2002 news, shows that the tax cuts under federal President Bush have increased the share of taxes paid by you and I. Reagan's 81 tax cut reduced the marginal rates within each tax bracket by 23%, and the top rate of 70% dropping to 50%, and then to 28% in 1988. The Tax Reform Act of 1986, TRA 86, reduced the 16 tax brackets to 2. Duke University economist Kurt Waits, or White's study of the, quote, marginal tax rates and Tax Reform Act of 1986, the long-run effect of the U.S. health distribution, end quote, made the most sense to me, Joan Vion, that is. He wrote in his 2001 paper that the studies have shown that changes in the marginal tax rates as a result of TRA 86 can account for a significant proportion of the increase in income inequity during the last 1980s. Quote, he cites a study by Edward M. Wolfe who showed that, quote, wealth inequity increased significantly in the U.S. from 1983 to 1989, with the top 0.5% of the households seeing the largest percentage gains. Where's all this going, people? Even a blind man can see that we have moved from big government to big business. That's the bottom line. Joan finds it fascinating that under Reagan, not only was inflation high with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates to the point of increasing unemployment, but a year after TRA 86 was passed, the Dow lost 13% in one day, while the U.S. became the world's largest debtor nation with a trade imbalance of $170 billion. And she asked, does any of this sound familiar? So what will be the effect of changing our tax structures from a tax on income to a tax on consumption? I believe it will further exacerbate what Reagan set in place. While it will enhance the wealth of the wealthy, it will hinder those who do not have enough assets to benefit from the change. And there's more to this, but I would say go to News and Views or News with Views and check it out for yourself. There's no point in going into any more detail on this at this point in time. So, the Arkansas River Improvement Plan is adopted, and it's going to cost money, and the money's going to come from the taxpayers. And it's just another direction, as other directions will come into place to further drain our pocketbooks. That is the sad commentary we have about all this. It keeps moving along. It keeps doing its thing. It keeps making it more and more difficult to survive. With less and less jobs going on, and being shipped below the border and overseas, what do we expect? Here in the review section or the opinion section of the paper, they talk about Nichols, Terry Nichols, getting off too easy. Listen to this. I have not read this, but I'll bet you it's just full of ignorance. As a minister, I feel very sorry for the families who lost loved ones because of the Oklahoma City bombing. The jury made a grave mistake in the punishment of the convicted killer. Some will say, how can you say that when the Bible clearly states that God is love? Remember, it also states in Galatians 6:7 that you will reap what you sow. It's so sad for families and other taxpayers that we will give to Terry Nichols freedom to live, three meals a day, a bed to sleep in, and so on. Those who were unmercifully taken without their freedom. I don't know if Nichols has accepted Christ as a Savior. If he has, I'm glad for him. But the punishment phase of the crime was a loss to the families. Now, this Reverend Nance, he's not paying attention. First of all, what role did Terry Nichols play? What role did Tim McVeigh play? Did Tim McVeigh actually die in his execution? We don't know. We just don't know. There were more explosives in the building. The building was demolished within 30 days to cover up the evidence. It's been spoken about that there could not have possibly been a truck bomb that did all the damage. So here we are with this mess, and we're believing what we're told again, and that's just typical the way it is. Just typical the way it is. And I sometimes I just wonder what the heck is going on. Here we see in the paper dated Thursday of last week, federal budget deficit hits record high. The year shortfall projected at $445 billion. It says here, with 2 months to go in the government's budget year, the federal deficit is hit its record, $385.8 billion. The monthly accounting of spending and revenue showed that the July deficit totaled $69.2 billion, up 27.5% from the $54.2 billion shortfall in July 2003. That's according to the Treasury Department. Well, what else is new? This is all started under the Reagan administration. He was going to save the country. Reagan was. Nah. Never happened. That's the last election I voted in. And I will not vote anymore. I'm sorry, but I think it's a fraud. I think it's a setup. And I think you don't have the right people to vote for anyway. Until you want to bring common people into government and not attorneys and lawyers. That's why you should be sure to check out the constitutionalguardian.com website. He wants to restore the Constitution and not to vote for lawyers. constitutionalguardian.com. He was supposed to be on last week and never called me back. And we'll try and get him on when he calls me back. I understand some people frustrated. I'm frustrated, you bet. Here we see the U.S. Marines in the holy city of Najaf on Wednesday promised action that could finish the militia of radical cleric Matata el-Sadar. The militia. Everywhere you read and hear, it's militias all over the world. It's just like presidents of countries or leaders of countries are all called presidents. They're trying to brainwash us. We're in a complicated cycle of brainwashing. It's not too complicated for us that have the same knowledge of what's going on. It's all very, very, very predictable. Here's another weird one. The California Supreme Court is set to rule on whether the mayor exceeded his authority by allowing gay couples to wed earlier this year, and many assume the decision will find Mayor Gavin Newsom violated state law. What is less clear, however, is how the seven justices will treat thousands of same-sex marriages sanctioned before the High Court intervened in March. Just the fact that it's promoting homosexuality is a sad situation that we have today. Here we see dated last Wednesday. Yeah, we haven't covered much of this. Bush taps lawmaker to head CIA. Another lawmaker, another attorney. So Bush has chosen Porter Goss, a Republican congressman and one-time spy, Tuesday to lead the CIA as the agency struggles to repair its tarnished reputation, confront new terrorism threats, and face the uncertainty of the massive intelligence reorganization. Well, I'm told that this Goss individual, Porter Goss, is also a bonesman, a member of Skull and Bones. It fits totally into the picture. The only reason why you're tapped on the shoulder in your junior year, going into your senior year at Yale University, is if you have the opportunity for significant influence into society. That's the only reason you're tapped on the shoulder to become a Skull and Bones member. And that initiation is absolutely, totally bizarre. I've heard countings of the initiations for Skull and Bones. How exciting. We'll be back to deal with this and some more. Stay with us.
Expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Scott Goji, from the top of the world, experienced the vital power and regeneration of the goji berry. Dr. Mendel, the world's number one leading authority on health and nutrition, has recently reintroduced the 5,000-year-old Himalayan secret for long life and perfect health within a juice called goji. Dr. Mendel says that this is the biggest health breakthrough in over 40 years, backed by scientific research, and when checked under the microscope, they say that the goji berry could be the most nutritionally dense food on the planet. So give your body a real boost and a real treat, and give this most delicious and all-natural juice a try. Comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee. To place an order, request a free book and an audio tape, call 877-888-4777. That's 877-888-4777. Listen to the Inside View on Health every week on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the ultimate nutritional discovery.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us, or call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Broadcast. Here we see in the opinion section of the damn paper, losing ground in AIDS fight. The AIDS epidemic shows no signs of abating, according to a new report by the United Nations, where there were a record 4.8 million new HIV infections in the last year, with fast-growing epidemics in Asia and Eastern Europe. People, this is a designer disease, according to many sources, a created crisis by many sources. They say, yet the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria, the funding mechanism most essential in treating and preventing HIV/AIDS, as well as these other major killers, has been forced to postpone its next round of grant proposals because of a lack of funding. Oh, this sick world we live in. At the end of June, the Global Fund held its eighth meeting and approved a fourth round of proposals for health projects that will put $968 million in the hands of health practitioners and on-the-ground programs around the world. She says how, and this is Joanne Carter, Who the hell is Joanne Carger? She's a legislative director of Results, a nonprofit grassroots advocacy organization committed to creating the political will to end hunger and the worst aspects of poverty. How's all this created? I've gone over this before. Wars, creation of conflicts, creates refugees. And these designer diseases are the same thing. The vaccinations help to exacerbate these diseases, according to many sources. It says many in the fight against global HIV/AIDS have been critical of this decision by the Global Fund's board. Instead of urging their respective governments to increase their contributions to the Global Fund, the donor representatives on the board have elected to slam the door on millions of the world's most desperate people. Huh. Rather than letting the real need determine the level of funding they would seek to raise, the Global Fund board is providing cover for donors who have failed to respond in an appropriate way. Prior to the Global Fund's board meeting, it was estimated the fund would need $3.6 billion in 2005 to review previous grants and improve new rounds of grants. The United States share of the contributions would be $1.2 billion. Where is the money coming from, people? But the Bush administration recommended only $200 million for the Global Fund in its 2005 budget proposal, a 60% reduction from the U.S. contribution of $547 million this year. Congress must do more, but it should not have to fight an uphill battle with the administration on the Global Fund, she says. The Bush administration must reverse its short-sighted go-it-alone policy and underfunding and paralyzing Global Fund efforts. Boy, is this woman a mess. Support for the fund will mean support for AIDS, TB, and malaria efforts in more than 120 countries will leverage other donor funds. And there's more to this, but you get the picture. More baloney. Here we see in the back, in the Nation and World section on last Wednesday's edition of The Oklahoman. U.S. troops tell militants to leave or face death. We're back in Najaf, Iraq. U.S. forces adopted a new tactic in their 6 day of battles in the city south of the capital, sending patrols armed with loudspeakers into the streets to demand that militants loyal to a radical cleric drop their arms and leave or face death. La da 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 da. Get so sick of this, people. Most of you don't subscribe to the paper because you don't want to hear the bad news. Well, that's not going to make it go away. Here we see, back to this, Najaf on the 9th of August, protected by 100 guards, Iraq's interim prime minister, Ayyed Alawi, visited the war-shattered city of Najaf on Sunday, calling on Shiite militants to lay down their weapons after days of fierce clashes with U.S. forces. Why are they clashing? Well, how would you feel if a foreign country invaded your country, told you what you can and can't do? You know what I mean? It just continues. The mess continues. Is it ever going to go away? No, it is never going to go away. Is it going to get any less? No, it's not going to get any less unless enough people get active and put support where it's needed and pressure where it's needed. Here we see dated last Friday, August 6th. Yeah, we're getting back there a ways. State tops mental illness ranking. That's right, state tops mental illness ranking. A new study shows that more than 11% of Oklahomans have a serious mental illness, again ranking the state the highest in the nation. Oh, boy. But some state mental health professionals question the accuracy of the study released Thursday by the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The federal agency determined the degree of mental illness by asking respondents in 2002 how frequently they were psychologically distressed during their worst month in the previous year. This is probably in hopes to tap into the screening for mental illness of the entire population, people. Here we see Guantanamo detainees appeal for freedom. Two Afghan prisoners, their hands bound and feet chained to the floor, pleaded for freedom Thursday before a U.S. military tribunal. The first hearings open to observers since proceedings began a week ago for terrorist suspects in Guantanamo Bay. These people have their hands bound and their feet chained to the floor. Well, I got a question for you people. What happens when they have to go to the bathroom? What happens when they have to relieve themselves? This is so sick. We live in such a sick time. And you can't wish it away. You can't ignore it. You can't turn it off. And that's the point. And yet we have Agenda 21 being implemented all over this country and world. I just see so much sickness, so much illness, so much weirdness. Here we see Oklahoma received more than $31 million in federal grant funds that will connect communications by emergency and law enforcement groups in a large portion of the state. Governor Brad Henry and State Homeland Security Director Carrie Pittigill said the money will be divided into three critical areas: law enforcement, terrorism prevention, state security, and Citizen Corps programs. Oh, boy. Citizen Corps programs. That's so your neighbor can call in the police if your grass is growing too long. And with the funding comes the demands. And if you don't cooperate with the demands, the funding will stop. This is the article I was telling you about last week. Oklahoma City Board of Adjustment declared Thursday it will exempt new schools from being built as part of maps for kids from new landscaping requirements. The Oklahoma City Council overhauled its landscaping ordinance last winter, increasing threefold the amount of plantings required for new developments. U.S. Grant High School will be rebuilt on its current site with an expansion of the campus later this year. Architect Alan Brown asked the Board of Adjustment to allow the project to include half the required landscaping, citing school district concerns about maintenance costs. Quote, the site is pretty large and the school system has difficulty maintaining a lot of landscaping, end quote, Brown said. Judy Hodgkin, a U.S. Grant graduate and 42-year resident of the surrounding neighborhood, told board members Brown's request would leave her home exposed to noise and traffic. She said she already was upset by the removal of houses that separated her home from the school campus. It's a culture shock, she says. Board member John Yackel told Brown he disagrees with any effort to cut landscaping at MAPS for Kids schools. Quote, we're going to have 80 school buildings, down from 90, but still making the district one of the largest property owners in the city. They will have a huge impact on the appearance of the city, and that was a quote. With fellow board members agreeing with Yackel, Brown agreed to revise landscaping plans for the campus and resubmit them next month. Construction bids for the project, meanwhile, are due Tuesday. Brown said large old trees on properties bought for school expansion will be left standing, giving portions of the campus a park-like setting. Mike Tower, project manager with the faculty group that is consulting the Maps for Kids program, and he thinks the ruling by the Board of Adjustment won't be a big problem. Quote, they're very clear on what they want, and they have a good point. The school district's position is they've got to to maintain this, and anything that can be done to help them on that, they want to do that, end quote. Oh, boy. Everything's costing money. Property taxes are going to be tapped to pay for the schools. And I keep harping on this because it only makes sense. Here's something very, very interesting. Out of New York, AP, dated the 6th of August. An officer on trial for refusing to address a homeless man took the stand Thursday, saying he was punished for trying to help needy people instead of locking them up. Officer Eduardo De La Cruz could be kicked off the police force if an administrative judge finds him guilty of failing to obey a lawful order. He refused to address a homeless, he refused to arrest a homeless man who had been sleeping in a Manhattan park, actually it's a Manhattan parking garage in 2002. Quote, I'm not going to do that, end quote, De La Cruz recalled, telling a sergeant who had handcuffed the man and told the officer to make the arrest. I'm not going to lock up a homeless man, quote, end quote. De La Cruz, 39, has drawn support from homeless advocates who portray him as a conscientious objector to a crackdown on the city's dispossessed. The officer, who has a clean disciplinary record, suggested he was motivated by religion. God is control, he says, the 10-year veteran said. In closing arguments, New York Police Department lawyer David Green argued that a law enforcement organization relies on a strict chain of command. Clearing De La Cruz would send the message that any police officer could choose to follow whatever order he wants, a very dangerous position to take. That's what this Green says. In 97, De La Cruz volunteered for a homeless outreach unit charged with directing homeless people to city shelters, but in 2002, police shifted to a zero-tolerance stance on trespassing and other minority crimes committed by vagrants found on streets or in the subway system. Quote, we had been trying to help and protect these people. Now we were going to go after them, according to De La Cruz. Just a sad, sad scenario. More and more homeless, more and more displaced, as more and more jobs disappear. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. It's just we just love to have someone that we could trust to do the right thing by us and for us and represent us properly. Here we say out of Santa Marta, Colombia, after flying over blackened cocoa fields, White House drug czar John Walters conceded that seizing cocaine, destroying cocoa crops, and locking up drug traffickers in Colombia have had little impact on the flow of cocaine in American streets. I wonder why that could be. We have secret containers coming in from communist China. Not even 2% get inspected. We have secret containers coming in from other parts of the world, too. So, how is it? Where is the CIA involved in drug smuggling? Where are the black ops projects involved in drug smuggling to pay for their black operations? The newspaper, I can understand people not wanting to read it, but you get the information. Here we see one of the terror suspects arrested in Britain is an alleged Al-Qaeda operative suspected of authoring the surveillance documents that sparked alerts in the United States, an official said Thursday, as Pakistan passed on new intelligence suggesting Al-Qaeda also plotted to attack London's Heathrow Airport. Who's behind Al-Qaeda, and why are they blaming Al-Qaeda? See, you have agencies out there that are accountable to no one. Shiite militia battles Iraqi and U.S. troops. Dated the 6th of August. Keep in mind the word militia is being vilified for our consumption. Every leader of a country is called a president for our consumption. To brainwash us into thinking we have no difference than other countries. And our Constitution is shredded. Or it's been put in the freezer forever. Or cryogenics of some sort. To be released someday in the future. Our Constitution is not being maintained and utilized. And that is the big, big problem. How can this be? How can we be so far gone in all this? I'm just so perplexed at how people can be so duped. Into what they're being thought and directed to think. Let's see. I'm trying to find something to get to you guys before the close of this hour. Warden wrote this, and thank you for sending this. Now that at least 6% of you are unemployed in the United States and have more free time to read, perhaps you'd like to know why you no longer have a job, why your job finding prospects are bleak, why our trade deficit is off the charts, and even more importantly, who did this to you? In order for you to fully grasp what I'm about to write, we'll need to review what worked to make this nation the most wealthy and powerful nation ever to grace the face of this earth. First, we need to remember how wealth is created. The average high school graduate comes out thinking that if they get more of the money others have, then that's the way to create wealth. They don't have a clue about wealth creation because, in most cases, the schools don't teach it. And most of the kids' parents don't bother and know either. So herewith is a refresher course. In the most perfect scenario, and one that the United States of America just happened to follow, this nation was established on a continent that was blessed with magnificent amounts of raw materials, like wood and metals, and an agricultural breadbasket, that could produce far more food than the domestic population could possibly eat. Add to that potent mix of population with a strong work ethic, solid moral integrity, and the freedom to be as personally successful as they want to be, and the founding fathers just let human nature take its course. Those raw materials were mined and harvested, then manufactured into items of quality and desirability that the entire world wanted to purchase. This is how wealth is created. The same goes for a vigorous agricultural program. You plant a seed and water it. It grows and produces whatever. You sell it, and voila, you've created wealth. In the meantime, people need to be employed in order to manufacture and to grow things. And if you employ someone, you have to pay them for their contribution to their efforts. As time goes by, more and more of your domestic population becomes employed, which means they are making money and able to purchase land, homes, cars, and other things for themselves. Over time, our growing domestic population became the nation's largest consumer of U.S. manufactured goods. Because of our Constitution, our Republican form of government, our people were free to explore and invent with little or no government intervention. This led to technological advances that produced goods of such fine quality and craftsmanship that no other nation could compete with us at the same level. The world could buy cheaper goods of lower quality made in Japan, for example. But if you wanted quality that would last, you bought American. As a result, wealth poured into this nation, creating more millionaires per capita than any other nation on earth. As our population came to earn more and more money in salaries and wages, our domestic manufacturers employing those workers had to change more and more of their goods at the wholesale level in order to maintain a profit and stay healthy. The workers employed in other nations earned far less than our workers, so in theory, they could produce manufactured goods at a lower cost than our domestic manufacturers could. The problem is that they generally lacked the raw materials we had in such abundance. And they also lacked our superior manufacturing technology, making foreign-made goods generally inferior. Even so, the United States maintained tariffs and trade restrictions that forced the shelf price of imported manufactured goods high enough to keep their price comparable to the goods produced by American manufacturers. As a result, the American standard of living kept climbing and outpaced that of the rest of the world by leaps and bounds. Later on, foreign manufacturers managed to steal a great deal of our technology, but the tariffs and trade restrictions still kept doing their intended duty of protecting American jobs. That is what made America the most wealthy and powerful nation on the face of the earth, and all that changed with the passage of, NAFTA and GATT in 1994. We are now hemorrhaging jobs and wealth to our other nations, particularly China, at such an astounding rate that there is no foreseeable way to stop the carnage. The North America Free Trade Agreement and the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs quite literally slashed America's economic throat, and NAFTA and GATT were pushed through by the Republicans and signed into law by President Bill Clinton over the strenuous objections of his fellow Democrats. We'll try and get our guest and conclude this up so you get the picture in the second hour, people.
Be sure to listen to The Church at Kaweah every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Pacific Time. The Church at Kaweah is a Lordship Church under the sole authority of Jesus Christ. You may contact The Church at Kaweah by calling 559-561-4860. That's 559-561-4860. And let them know how much you're being blessed. Thank you.
So hopelessly in place, as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They beat them on falsehood.